Hello again, and once again we start straight into the first round, which is called Singing Sprint. In this round, a member of one team sings a song as fast as he can, and then a member of the opposing team must beat his time. And we're going to start with Graham from one team and Tim from another, and your song is Moon River.
River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday. Oh, dream maker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way. Through glitters off to see the world, there's such a lot of world to see. Well, after the day, the rainbow's end, waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend, Moon River and me.
Yeah, good effort there. Good effort there with 14 seconds. Now, Graham Garden, see if you can beat that.
Of course.
All right.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm cutting you in south someday. Oh, dreamy maker, you are a breakaway. I'm going away to drift us off to this world, such a world to be. We're off the same river, and waiting for my huckleberry friend, Moon River, and me.
Yes, you win that one, that round, with an absolutely fantastic 10 seconds.
Fantastic.
Now, Bill, this is your chance to catch up to your team, because you and Barry are going to sing The Lonely Goatherd from the Sound of Music.
Let the girl in a pink coat head, yellow lily, yellow lily. She goes back to the lily goat head, yellow lily. Soon in my mouth, the gleaming goat head, yellow lily, yellow lily. Oh, the beauty of your green goat head, yellow lily, yellow lily. What about the lily, yellow lily, yellow
lily, that was 15 seconds, excluding injury time. Barry, your turn to try and beat that. You've got to beat 15 seconds.
One little golden perfect goathead lady, a little lady dee. She will come back to the only goathead, a little lady dee. She will come out with a little goathead lady, a little lady dee. What a duet will go and goathead lady, a little lady dee. Oh, lady, lady, lady dee, lady dee, lady dee. I've finished. It's the call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
There we go, little lady. Short
heat there. There between you and 15 seconds each.
Thank you.
Very, very good. And we go on to the point in the program where I introduce a round that's played at the very end of the program in order to give the teams time to think of silly names for people arriving at the military ball. Now we have the round which is called Garble. And for this round, I'm going to give each team a situation to improvise, but the improvisation must be in Garble. In other words, you must use no recognizable words. And we're going to start now with Barry and Graham, and your situation is this. A British explorer proposing a football match to an unlettered pygmy chief. Rang the buzzer to put you out of your misery. The master in this round will be decided on the volume of applause from the audience.
Before they clap.
Which
we've got nothing.
Very likely to be a walkover for Bill and Tim, but anyway. Bill and Tim, your situation is this. The president of the Scottish Ladies Circle inviting an American jazz musician to join them for an informal musical evening.
Tim is turning into a lady before my very eyes. I don't think there's much choice as to what I do, is there?
I know you, yeah.
That sounded to me like a perfect impression of the petticoat line. I'll give you 12 and Graham and Barry... I'm sorry, I'll give you 2 and Graham and Barry 1, making Graham and Barry score 11, Tim and Bill 12. Now we have a quickie. This is the game called I Spy in 1, and in this game your partner has to guess what you're spying with your little eye in 1. 4 in a row gains you a point. And we'll start now with you again, Barry Cryer, if you will start off.
I spy with my little eye something beginning with F.
Fool.
Correct.
I spy with my little eye something beginning with P.
Pineapple.
Correct.
I spy with my little eye something beginning with
Bubba.
Near enough.
Something beginning with butter.
I spy for a winning round with my little eye something beginning with C.
Church.
Right.
No marks there, because you didn't get 4 in a row. You left a letter out, as Tim...
Well, that makes it harder, Humphrey, surely.
I wouldn't know about that. Now, Tim and Bill. Tim and Bill. Bill, will you start?
Yes. I began. sometimes finish, but not often. I spy with my little eye something beginning with P.
Pineapple.
Yes.
I spy with my little eye something beginning with B.
Blue pineapple.
Quite right.
With my little eye something beginning with T.
Tall pineapple. I spy with my little eye something beginning with M.
Monster pineapple.
Yes. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. You get your mark. And we go on now to our commentary round. And this is a round where each team improvises a commentary to an event which I shall give you.
Oh,
and here again, we call on the audience, by the volume of their applause, to judge who wins the 2 marks which are available. Starting with you, Bill and Tim, now. Mm. Will you give a commentary, please, on bathing the baby?
Well, over near the taps, the baby's coming out now, and it looks as if it's going to be a bloodbath tonight. And how do you feel? And the baby's down the far end, and he's given a right to his foot, and a left, yes. And when taking that, the mother's coming in with a right fist, and she's going to clean the back, she's going to clean the back, and oh, what a nasty sight. He looks as if he's in trouble now. The baby's in trouble, he's fallen, he's down, he's down on his back. Oh, that's the end of the round, and now over to Barrington Fox to tell us an inter-round commentary.
Well, it is probably one of the most interesting baby bathings we've seen for a long time. Yes. In fact, I saw Mohammed's baby not very long ago in Madison Square Bath. And that was one hell of a bath, I can tell you. It really was. And I think we're coming out for the second round now. The mother's up. Over to you, Barrington.
And the mother's moving in. And she's got a looper. Yes, oh, that seems a bit unfair. She's got a looper. And what's she doing to the baby with? Oh, I think that's a bit unfair. That's a bit low. That loper was moving. Oh, dear. The bathing's been stopped.
Right, Tim and Bill, and the audience gave you 10 seconds worth of ecstatic applause, which is what you've got to beat, Barry and Graham. And your subject is sewing on a button.
Sewing on a button is absolutely fascinating. I went to the doctor once, and he stuck a needle in my arm. I wouldn't have minded that, but he sewed a button on it. This is ridiculous. So we watched the event in front of us. One lady's got the needle. The other doesn't seem too pleased either. I'm going to hang over now, too. Hang over now. Ever since I had my nose speak, my mouth won't work. I'll hang over. I'll hang over now to Barrington Gardens.
Thank you. I houses of the ground, so there's quite a bit of niggers in the ground, but
I've never seen such a needle as this. It's the only one I've ever seen with an eye that's bloodshot. Anyway, we keep on watching this event. We watch this event. The needle's going into the button's going onto the needle, but who am I to point the finger? Because I'm just standing here watching, and that's my cane, so don't talk about it. I'm here to commentate on a needle going into a button. I think it's being so, quick, yes. It's really going in there. I think the button's going on, and for the final climactic moments, over to Garden Barrington.
Full box there. And the button is really only winding around the thread. And, oh, look at that. That's a very good try. Well, that's 1 point to the needle, and that's the end of the match. Thank you. And back to David Vine.
I second that.
The audience gave Barry and Graham there no less than 17 seconds of applause, plus a few indiscriminate shouts. And
get off.
That gives them the 2 points, which makes the score 13 all. Right, we go on to the blues round. For this round, I'm going to ask the members of each team to improvise the blues, taking alternate lines, and they will, of course, be accompanied at the piano by Dave Lee. Right, Barry and Graham, will you give Tim and Bill their subject for a blues, please?
Their subject for a blues is Jimmy Osmond.
Their subject for blues.
The subject that we've got for them is I never went to sleep last night blues.
You can't do that to us.
Goodbye, woke up this morning.
I never went to sleep last night. No, I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't care.
I care. Oh, I care. Nobody cares.
I just went into my bedroom. My good friend Edgar Huff lying there.
You're on your own. So I shook him by the shoulder.
And I woke up this morning. Oh,
I was all set to give you 83 marks for avoiding I woke up this morning. As it is, we give Graham and Barry 4 marks and, oh, what the hell.
Well, I like it. You know.
Now we have the round called Clown Charades. One team has to guess the title of a book, a play, or whatever else from the noises made by the members of the opposing team. The audience can help here by applauding when the people who are doing the guessing are getting warmer, and by groaning when they're not. And we'll start now. We'll start with Tim and Bill.
Good evening.
Is yours a book or a play or what?
Depends on how they're going to do first.
It's a play.
Yes.
We have our mystery voice. For you listeners at home, tell you what the title is.
And it's Long Day's Journey into Night.
No response from the audience, so it's clean.
First word. Note the accent is a clue.
A slum.
Two and two, six, five.
No, that is incorrect.
Incorrect?
Yes, it's not light.
It's not light.
It is.
It's not light?
No.
Oh, it is, if it is fact, incorrect.
It is, in fact, ha-ha.
Long.
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 That second word.
News in Welsh. Dull, dim, dull, dim, dim, boring, overlong, masochist.
Masochist, man.
We're acting being in one. Be careful what you say.
Perhaps we should move on to the next one.
Coma. Days.
Third word.
And the third word. Going on quickly.
Tickets, please.
Hold the ball. Off we go.
Bus. Yes. It's a long tramp bus.
I know.
Long day's tram.
No. Graham.
Long
deep Graham.
What? Journey.
Oh. I won't commit myself.
I won't jump to any conclusions, you know.
Absolutely.
Well,
brilliant.
I won't jump to any conclusions.
You took rather a long time to guess that, so I can only give you one out of two, but it was a very long title, so I'll give you the one back and give you two out of two. And right away, quick as a flash, over now to Barry and Graham for their charade. And for those of you listening at home, it's the last appearance this week of the Mystery Voice.
And the charade is Liberace. Liberace.
To give you a title there.
This is
terribly
filthy. Is this a play or a film?
It's
or
a coniferous plant. But also
a famous person.
Famous person.
Coniferous plant?
Or but mainly a famous person.
The
mainly
audience
a famous
seemed
person.
Dubious about whether he's famous or she's famous.
This person is famous and mainly for not being a coniferous plant. There is one word on the card. There it is in pieces.
Equal opportunities for women.
Paragraph.
Pankhurst. Ship. Ventriloquist. Vent. Vent. Vent come into
dummy.
Dummy.
Archie. Liberace.
Now, I don't want to be the first one to ask this, but how come Liberace is a carnivorous plant?
Have
you been with him at the weekend?
I don't know how you did it, but Billy Quinn, you succeeded in scoring 5 for that entire round, bringing your score to 17. And Barry and Graham, you've only scored 5, which brings your score to 22. Now we have the game called Tag Wrestling. In this round, I'm going to give each team the payoff of the story. The members of each team will have to devise a story to fit their particular payoff. I shall then start one of you off working towards your punchline, and then I shall press the buzzer, and a member from the opposing team will have to take over that story but work towards his punchline. And it should be absolutely gripping. Now, we start with Tim and Bill.
Yeah.
Here's your punchline. Yeah. That's not your handbag, Vicar. Whispered the croupier.
That's your handbag.
Yours contains Mrs. Worthbone.
Well, I know
right.
The story.
While you're memorizing.
He's very sorry. I don't think
Barry and Graham, here's your punchline. Oops a daisy, sweetheart. Said the colonel. Dismounting from his rubber duck.
You know mine are red.
Oh, I saw the film.
Right, well, film team, you've had the longest to compose yourselves and so that you can start off your story working towards your punchline. Now,
red. Who started?
Me? Tim Brooke Taylor.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Scene is Monte Carlo. We're inside the casino where Mr. Vicar lives with his wife, Mrs. Vicar. And one night, with Mrs. Worthcorn, who made the party up for three, they'd had a game of bridge.
When suddenly there was a knock on the door. Colonel Hargreaves stood there. He said, "It's terribly embarrassing. I have bothered you before, but you know the primitive plumbing at my place. Could I have a bath here?" And they said, "Of course you can have a bath here." So he immediately repaired to the bathroom.
Repaired to the bathroom. And was unfortunately drowned.
Bad business. Very sad.
Well, to cheer himself up, the Colonel's wife went along to the casino. Well, of course, she met the vicar and Mrs. Vicar, and indeed Mrs. Worthstone, who was there to make up the three.
Throughout the evening, the main topic of conversation was Colonel Hargreaves in the bathroom and his unfortunate accident. Little did they know, however, that the Colonel was reviving. Appeared to be demised. At that moment, Mrs. Worthorn, getting out of the vicar's handbag and saying, "I shall never get in there again,"
said, "Good evening, folks." Did a small tap dance on the rubber duck and left. Said, "Mr. Vicar, come to me to the bathroom, because I think you need to do a little repairs to your face, which had been injured in the fight down at the old Blue Casbah."
Irrelevant.
Everybody immediately repaired to the bathroom to see if the colonel had indeed revived, and there indeed he was, as large as life, if not larger. And so ebullient at his revival, he was in fact floating upon a rubber duck in the bath.
In the bath. At that moment, the rubber duck burst. Unfortunately, for the second time in 24 hours, he was drowned. Mrs. Worthall came in hearing the sad news about the colonel and said, "You know, I said I'd never change your handbag again." "Well, that's true. I've changed, and the reason is the story. I'll tell you the story. Why?"
"Don't tell me the story," said Mrs. "Go out to the bathroom and take these swimming trunks and make the late Colonel Hargreaves decent." Mrs. Westall, not knowing that there was more than one bathroom in the house, and indeed more than one Colonel Hargreaves, passed through the door. "Oops the daisy, sweetheart," said the Colonel, dismounting from his rubber duck. "You know mine are red," referring to the bathing trunks.
You actually get 4 marks, Barry and Graham, for winning that round.
We win?
You would have got more if you hadn't won it through the fact that the chairman fell asleep and forgot to press his button. Very good, though. You score 26, and Bill and Tim are on 22.
Excellent.
And we reach the point in the program where I go to sleep once again, because the teams are going to give their announcements for the arrival at the military ball.
"And first to arrive..."
Oh, he's pretty fast off the mark.
"Leap it in quickly in case he's with the party coming with the other team. Is Mr. and Mrs. Mental Mascot and their son, Reggie Mental Mascot. And I'm willing to bet his namesake was coming over there."
"Yes, he was. Pray, silence."
"Instead, a very old friend. 2 very old friends. Very advanced. Corporal punishment." "And Major Jump."
"And also coming in now, Mr. and Mrs. Military family. Mr. and Mrs. Potts and their son, Corporal Potts.
Recent promotion. Will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. to please and their daughter, military, please.
Mr. and Mrs. Dear Guards and their granny, Dear Guards.
Honor! We've hardly any left in our party now. Quickly followed by Mr. and Mrs. Byabed and their son, Stan Byabed.
Pray silence.
Quickly, honor!
From the north. Oh, yes. Mr. and Mrs. Sheer Fusiliers and their tall son, Lanky Sheer.
Mr. and Mrs. Carrier and their aged relative all the way from Treasure Island, Ben Gunn Carrier.
Followed by two more. They're not that welcome. Get out. Followed by two more from the north. Mr. and Mrs. Aircraft Gun and their relations, their uncle and auntie Aircraft Gun.
Major and Mrs. Croom Ballards and their son, Barry Croom Ballard.
Croom Ballard. Also coming
from... Wait.
They're a very Arthur problem. Swerd.
And his parents, Mar and Pa Swerd.
With the score delicately poised. At 39 to Barry and Graham, and 31 to Bill and Tim.
Mr. and Mrs. Mopsuit and their daughter, Dee.
40 to Barry and Graham.
Mr. and Mrs. Tearcut and their son, Shaw Tearcut.
And Kitchback.
Oh, we're going to scrape the barrel. Mr. and Mrs. Gunn and their two sons, Tommy and Sten. Oh.
Mr. and Mrs. Parade with their relative all the way from India, Sikh Parade.
We come at the end of
no.
the program this week. Good heavens. Good, yes.
Oh, yes.
Goodbye.
No, wait.
Mr. and Mrs. Balls and their clerical son, Cannon.